Back together again, you and I chatting it up, brand new week on a Monday, October 20th, 2025, right here on Connecticut Today. We talked about a controversy surrounding a photo of Democratic State Senate member Saud Anwar at a No Kings rally the previous weekend. Republican State Party Chairman Ben Proto and Republican State Senate member Dr. Jeff Gordon also joined us to address that situation with Senator Anwar. I also wondered what's next for the No Kings crowd out in force to the tune of about 7 million nationwide the previous weekend and thousands here in Connecticut. Finally, CBS News congressional correspondent Nicole Killian joined us from Capitol Hill with the latest developments, or lack thereof, regarding the ongoing government shutdown. Now, to this controversy in Hartford, let me set this up for you here before we go to the news and bring on some guests about this. Everybody loves the freedom of speech we have in this country, right? We can say stuff, and as long as it's not crossing that edge of inciting a riot or shouting, what do they always say, fire in a crowded theater, whatever, we essentially were okay with letting people do that. Now, it's the reaction to that that we have to talk about. Now, there was, at one of the many No Kings rallies over the weekend, people looked like they were having a good time. And I saw a picture pop into one of my feeds, and I said, well, this has to be AI. There's no way he would do this knowing it was going to be published. And I speak of Democratic State Senate member Saud Anwar, very, very influential member in Hartford, no real friend of Ned Lamont, we should say. He's very left-leaning, to the point where, like I said, he accused Governor Lamont a few months ago of being responsible for drug abuse deaths. Because if you remember, the governor would not sign a bill to allow injection centers. And Saud Anwar is also a practicing physician. He's a pulmonologist of some repute, Yale educated, so he's not a dumb guy. So there are people, and he actually put this on his own Facebook page. So that kind of settled it with people who said, well, this is probably AI, artificial intelligence, AI generated. There's no way it could be him. Well, it was him. And you may say, well, wait a minute. How bad was this? So Senator Anwar, who again is an elected lawmaker in the state of Connecticut and a doctor, he is posing with a woman. I have no idea who this woman is, whether it's his wife or an associate or whatever. There is a hand-drawn card, a picture with what appears to be fast food, a hamburger there, cheeseburger, French fries, a tipped over bucket of chicken, which it appears to be here. And he's standing behind the car, the placard, and it says, quote, cholesterol, do your job. Now, at first blush, you say, well, what the hell does that mean? Well, and immediately you kind of say, oh, okay, President Trump is a well-known fan of fast food to the point where he's had it at White House ceremonies, right? So you say to yourself, well, wait a minute. This is a guy who has a seat in the General Assembly, who's a doctor, and is he hoping for the death of Donald Trump? And I'm saying to myself, well, no, there's got to be some other. And again, this got picked up by major outlets. It's all around the world. So here you have a sitting member. There's only 36 people at any one time in the state who are members of the state Senate. So each state Senate member represents about 100,000 people, 98, 99, 100,000 people. And a guy's a doctor. I guess he's successful. I don't know. But he is sitting there with a woman, and the sign says, cholesterol, do your job. Sounds like he wants the sitting president and leader of the free world to die. Now, he asked freedom of speech to say that, And there is blowback there. Now, he released some half-hearted statement about, oh, the Republicans are pearl-clutching. Pearl-clutching. And, of course, with no failure, Martin Looney, who's been in the state Senate since 1860, he releases a similar statement. I'll read those to you later. But Governor Ned Lamont also, and to Ned Lamont's credit, he spoke up today and said it was unacceptable. And he's waiting to hear what Senator Anwar and some other Democratic leaders are saying about this. Now, coming up, we have news and traffic and weather together. I will play for you, and I believe Chris has it in the newscast. We'll play for you what Governor Ned Lamont said today. And what's all the worse here are the flippant responses. And I will read to you, word for word, the flippant response from Senator Anwar, who, again, is a practicing physician and a member of the General Assembly and other high-ranking General Assembly members, at least one, who seem to think it's no big deal that an elected Democrat in the state seems to be opining for the death of Donald Trump. All right, so apparently a member of the Connecticut General Assembly, who's also a practicing physician, thinks it's okay to kid about President Trump dying. Now, I ask, could you imagine if that was a Republican saying that at a similar rally or a rally like that during the Obama years? People would be outraged. And they should be. Well, thankfully, Governor Ned Lamont proving again that in a party of wackos, he's one of the few sane voices. He was asked about this today.
I was at a couple of those rallies. There were thousands of really good, strong, positive signs about, respecting our Constitution and our laws. I thought that sign was offensive and inappropriate, and he shouldn't have been there next to that sign. I think he regrets it. I hope he says so.
Well, Governor, don't bank on that. Ben Proto joins us now, the chairman of the state Republican Party. Ben, just when you think it can't get any crazier, Ben, it does. How are you, and what are your thoughts on this?
I'm doing well, Paul. Thanks for having me on.
Yep.
We saw that Saturday, with Senator Anwar, Dr. Anwar. Dr. Anwar is a noted pulmonologist, mm-hmm. And I will not take anything away from his medical work. From what I understand, he's an outstanding physician, and good for him for that. I mean, he's worked hard for that. What he, to have taken that photo, I think was tremendously disingenuous on his part, to say the very least, somewhat disgusting, to go a little bit further. And then to say, oh, it was just a joke.
Yeah.
Well, no, it wasn't a joke, because you're right. What you said in the lead in, had a Republican done that, they would have been all over them, and they have been all over them, when those situations have come up, when, Republicans have indicated, through actions or words or, signs or whatnot of hurting somebody or violence. The Democrats have been all over it. It was never a joke when the Republicans did it. But here's the interesting part about this, Paul, and what's not getting any play. We put it up on our social media Saturday night. At the same time that Dr. Anwar, Senator Anwar, was at that rally holding that sign, a noted physician mm-hmm. calling for the illness or death of another human being, which quite frankly violates the Hippocratic Oath, in my opinion. Another doctor, just a few miles away, Dr. Jeff Gordon, mm-hmm. who also happens to have the title of state senator, who is a noted cancer specialist, was at a breast cancer event just a few miles away from where Dr. Anwar was. And Dr. Gordon was helping raise awareness of breast cancer, helping raise money for breast cancer, talking to women about how to identify and test themselves for breast cancer, and talking about cancer treatments at the same time. So you have one doctor, a Democrat, talking about harming people, and you have another doctor, a Republican, talking about helping and curing people. And I asked the people of Connecticut a very simple question. Who do you want taking care of Connecticut? The Democrat doctor who calls for injury and death to a person, or the Republican senator doctor who's helping people get better and stay well and treating them when they're ill. Because here's the thing. If you're a patient of Dr. Anwar's and you happen to be a pro-Trump person, does it give you pause to go see him again? Like, maybe you're not going to get his best because he clearly, if he has no problem talking about that way about Donald Trump, how does he feel about patients who support the guy he wants to die?
And, you know, Ben, you would think that maybe on further reflection, or as they say, upon further review, and the governor in his remarks, everybody heard, said, well, we got to see what he says about it. Well, here's what he said in part. He had a written statement on this, Ben. You've probably seen this and read this. Yeah. For the listeners, here's what he said, quote, some Republicans are pretending to be outraged over a photo of me standing next to a satirical sign at a No Kings rally. Republicans are furious over a joke, but silent when our democracy, our health care, and our planet are under attack. The outrage is a performative distraction. Really?
His is a performative action.
Oh.
Because here's the thing, Dr. Anwar, if you're not sure about what these satirical signs mean, as you call them,
Yeah. These
satirical signs, these satirical statements that you made caused someone to put a bullet in Charlie Kirk's neck and kill him. Just so we're clear, Dr. Anwar, it's the words and the actions of people like you who think this is funny got Charlie Kirk killed. Just so we're clear, got Charlie Kirk killed, got our president almost assassinated, and the father and the husband and a firefighter killed in that shooting. Another one badly injured because of satirical, funny statements. They're not satirical. They're not funny. You meant it. You want him gone. You've made that abundantly clear. Be a man, Dr. Manwar. Be a man. Stand up and say, you know what? I was wrong. I shouldn't have done that. Yeah, I'd rather he not be our president. I would rather Kamala Harris had won the election. I have no problem with you saying that. None. You have the absolute right to say that. But be a man. For once in your life, in your political career, be a man, stand up and admit you made a mistake and you were wrong and you apologize. It's not hard to do.
And Ben, he concludes, while they are busy clutching pearls over a piece of poster board, families in Connecticut are fighting for affordable health care, quality education, and the fundamental constitutional rights. So there you go.
Right. And it's real simple, Dr. Anwar. When you're done apologizing, pick up the phone, call Chris Murphy, call Dick Blumenthal, tell him to vote for the continuing resolution to continue the funding that they had already supported, the Biden-era funding, and then, like adults, sit down with the president and the Republicans and negotiate on your issues. That's how this system works. The constitutional process that you are talking about are the ones Democrats are ignoring. Because here's the thing, Paul, that No Kings rally really should have been about the Democrats. Because you know what kings do when they want to put their subjects under control? They deny them food. They deny them housing. They deny them protection of their armies. That's what the Democrats are doing right now. So if there's anybody acting like a king, like a monarch, it's Chuck Schumer, Chris Murphy, Dick Blumenthal, and the rest of the Senate Democrats. Because remember what Democrat Senator John Fetterman said. This is on the Democrats.
Yeah.
This is their shutdown.
Yeah.
Right. So here's the thing for you, Dr. Anwar. Stand up. Be a man. Be a solid politician. Say, I made a mistake. I apologize. I shouldn't have done that. I'm a better person than that. And Chris Murphy, Dick Blumenthal, go vote for that CR. And get the SNAP benefits and the WIC benefits and get our veterans back in the healthcare systems in the VA, get our first responders and our law enforcement paid. Not hard, Dr. Anwar, at least not for someone who actually cares about the people they represent and the people they treat.
Ben Proto, chair of the Connecticut Republican Party. Ben, thank you as always. Take care and we'll be in touch.
Anytime, buddy.
Thanks, Ben Proto there.
I was at a couple of those rallies. There were thousands of really good, strong, positive signs about, respecting our Constitution and our laws. I thought that sign was offensive and inappropriate, and he shouldn't have been there next to that sign. I think he regrets it. I hope he says so.
Well, apparently not. He's doubling down on it. We speak of State Senate member, Democrat Saud Anwar, of the district outside Hartford there. He's being defended by the caucus leader there in the Senate, Mart Looney in New Haven, saying, hey, this was a joke. It's pearl clutching. Well, geez, if we're at a point now where we can joke about the death of a president who is known to have an affinity for fast food, is that where we are now? Isn't this from the side that says, well, we have to tone down the rhetoric? Okay, then. Let us speak to another member of the General Assembly on the opposite side of the aisle, who was also a practicing physician, a cancer specialist, who has some thoughts about this. State Senator Dr. Jeff Gordon, who's been on the program numerous times. Hey, Jeff, it's Paul. Good afternoon, sir. How are you?
I'm doing very well, Paul. Always happy to be on the show with you.
Jeff, this must bother you on a couple of levels here. And you know, I held off at the beginning saying, well, this was AI, this is artificial intelligence. And then we find out what Senator Anwar did, who's a practicing physician himself, a pulmonologist of some repute, you being a cancer expert from what I understand. No, he doubled down on it. Martin Looney is doubling down on it. What are your thoughts, Jeff, both from a physician's point of view, and I can understand if you don't want to get too personal here, and from a lawmaking point of view here? What are your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts from being a doctor and being a state senator is that I did find it offensive, and I find it inappropriate, and it does require, and the people of Connecticut deserve an apology, including from the Senate Democrats, who seem to condone this type of stuff because they flippantly went ahead and just said, well, let's dismiss it. And I can tell you, calling this a joke, I don't know of any joke that is funny, you know, advocating for somebody to die, including a president of the United States. I don't think, you know, any of us went around saying the same thing about Biden or Obama. We're mm-hmm. not wishing, you know, people to die. So it's just, it shows the hypocrisy that's out there by the Senate Democrats, that they say they don't want political violence. They say they don't want hate speech. They say that everybody has to tone the temperature down of what they say and do. Yet they go ahead and defend actions like this. It just boggles the mind. And it's sad and unfortunate, and it should not be in politics here in Connecticut.
Yeah, and the thing is, Jeff, okay, Dr. Anwar said this, maybe upon reflection, and you heard the governor was quite determined earlier today. I played that soundbite heading in here. He said he was not happy. He didn't think it's appropriate. And you know what's almost worse, Jeff, as you and I mentioned, it's the doubling down here. Oh, Jeff, it was a joke. What's all this pearl clutching here? I mean, that's almost, Jeff, to me anyway, and I'm not trying to put words in your mouth here, but it's almost even more insulting than what the sign itself insinuated, like voters aren't supposed to pay attention here.
Oh, absolutely. And thinking that the people of Connecticut are dumb and, you know, will see this as a joke. Well, they don't see it as a joke. Or thinking that, you know, the people of Connecticut are dumb and, you know, can be moved off to a different topic. Not at all. And this is just adding insult to injury and just continues to show what the Senate Democrats do, where they have no problem bashing Republicans and saying all sorts of things, including things that are lies and can be fact checked. And then when one of their own does something this bad, you know, they decide they just want to sweep it under the rug. I don't know about you, but I don't own a pair of pearls, a necklace. Maybe I'll go out and buy them just so that way I can show that I'm, you know, that indeed I'm not clutching a pearl necklace. But for comments like that just show an absolute disdain to the people of Connecticut who know better and don't want this from their elected officials.
Is this, Dr. Gordon, Jeff, are we seeing a preview here? I think we are. Are we seeing a preview of the upcoming governor's race, maybe, and the legislative races that you and all the men and the women will face in the state house and state senate next year? Is this going to be Trump, Trump, Trump? Because I'm honestly picking my brain here, Jeff, at what the incumbent Democrats are going to run on next year, and I can't come up with anything. Is this what we're going to be in for?
Yeah, well, they tried that last year against me, throwing things out, Trump against me, when I kept on saying I'm running as a state senator, I'm not United States senator. And the Democrat who ran against me attacked me, including making an anti-Semitic attack against me, and I'm Jewish. And Nobody in the Democratic Party, including in her own town, the Democrats in Tallinn, called her out, condemned it, said it was bad. So as far as I'm concerned, they have been doing this type of stuff. It's just seems to be amped up in volume and in frequency. And I'm real concerned because the more this happens, there will be crazy people out there who will see it as a call to commit violence. And it's one thing, to say, well, we want the president to die. But when you have other people who could be caught up in violence just out there in the public, that's what's scary. And I hope, common sense will prevail. And if the Democrats really want to tone the temperature down, apologize.
And Jeff, finally, on a national basis, we know Connecticut is solid blue, but we have our red pockets. Look, and as I said earlier today, it was wonderful that people got out for the No Kings rally, if that's what they believe. 7 to 8 million people got off the couch and got outside this weekend. It was good. But Jeff, pep rallies don't win elections. There's a reason, whether people like him or not, Donald Trump is in the Oval Office today. And I wonder now, will the Democratic Party, although doubtful here in Connecticut, but nationally, will they finally figure out, as some in their own party are trying to say, Jeff, here's why Donald Trump was elected, and maybe we're just off on a lot of our policy issues. I fear that's still not going to happen.
And that is a concern. I don't stand in the way of somebody peacefully and legally exercising their constitutional First Amendment rights. They want to protest. There's a way to do it, a way to speak and a way to conduct yourself. So people did that, using their rights. The issue is that if the Democrats don't realize that they really are out of touch with the average person, including here in this state where we continue to have an affordability crisis, and all the Democrats want to do is continue to spend and spend and spend, which is people's taxpayer money that they could keep in their pockets and use it to buy things their families need. They're going to become more out of touch. And here in this state, you are seeing parts of the state, more and more people are realizing that. We're seeing it more nationally. And whether you agree with Donald Trump's policies or not, whether you like him as president or not, he did win the election, and he was able to connect with large segments of the population out there with his message, and then, what he said he wanted to do, and that resonated with some people. It did not with everyone, but it did with a majority, and he won. So that's how you win elections, is you're getting out there connecting with people and talking with them of the issues. I think you'll find more in this state with the Democrats out of touch, that more people are realizing they're out of touch and realizing more that it's the Republicans like myself that are out there actually coming up with common sense proposals and really connecting with people. And it'll be interesting to see what happens this year and next year with elections.
Absolutely. Jeff, thank you. State Senator Dr. Jeff Gordon always joins us here on the program. Jeff, be good. Thanks. We appreciate the time. Thank you.
You too. Thank you.
All right. State Senator Jeff Gordon, a cancer specialist who, unlike the other doctor and the generalist in the House there, is not wishing, apparently, for the death of the commander-in-chief. Where, as I check, we still have no king or no king. So I guess congratulations to all you people over the weekend who participated here in the great state of Connecticut and nationwide in the No Kings rally, because it worked. We still don't have any kings, which I guess is all right. Oh, come on, it's a joke. Relax. But in the middle of this weekend of doing one of my other gigs and broadcasting a hockey game and following along with college football and all that and getting some sleep, I was kind of keeping updated as to what went on Saturday and the remnants yesterday is some of these No Kings rallies. And again, good for people that got out there. I applaud you. I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. You were passionate enough to get out there. Unlike me, a lot this weekend when I wasn't working, sitting on my fat keister and snoring. Okay, you did more than I did politically this past weekend. I did some other stuff that wasn't necessarily political, but I digress. So here's my question, and I'll open this up here immediately at 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. Okay, you had all these No Kings rallies. Good for you. Good on you. Now what? Seriously, now what? And again, it's great you got out there, but the notion that a bunch of people turned out for these rallies, mainly in blue states, is no big surprise. Hell, I would have been shocked if the rallies weren't as big as they are. But they were, and that's good. So you tell me what's next. If you're not on the Trump bandwagon, if you're not on the, as some people call it, the Trump train, whatever, what's next? Because you can rally over and over and over for stuff, and it's not going to make a hill of beans of a difference unless you are persuasive. And hitting piñatas of Donald Trump over the weekend and holding up signs, especially if you're a member of the Connecticut General Assembly, apparently wishing death on the president. We'll get to that later with a couple of guests. Jeez, people really show who they are, huh? But beyond that, what's the, like, what are you doing? The guy that you protested against this weekend, and you did that, of course, within your constitutional rights, the guy won the popular vote. The guy and or the guy's party, in a huge national survey done a few weeks ago, leads the opposition in 7 of 11 big categories. Now, were this weekend's gatherings going to change that? I don't know. But even if you are virulently anti-Trump, and good for you if you are, I don't care, you have to admit, you gotta come up with a plan. And holding signs and holding placards, you know what that is? And there's nothing wrong with that. You have these before big football games. That's a pep rally. A pep rally isn't a game plan. Every weekend where there are big college football pep rallies all over the country, and you see ESPN and Fox, and they do the game day stuff and the night before stuff, well, it's all great, and the mascots are there, and all the speakers are there, and this, that, and the other. It doesn't mean a hill of well-cooked beans when it comes to, hey, what's our actual game plan here? And in 7 of the past 11 major topics that have been surveyed over the past few weeks, you know, the red team is winning and they're beating the blue team. Now, having said that, who knows what it'll be like in a few months or a couple of years? I don't know. But what I do know is you need a plan. You need a plan for when we have the midterms coming up in about a year, and the subject of crime comes up, and the subject of the economy, and the subject of the borders and immigration come up. Is anybody at that time, in about a year from now, going to care how many people were at a No Kings rally? No, they won't. They're not going to care. So my advice to you people who are anti-Trump, anti-Republican, you want to balance out the government again, good. Figure out your stuff. Figure out why your young people suddenly, when most of the hostilities are done in the Middle East between Hamas and Israel, suddenly the Free Palestine crowd has gotten, they've gotten awfully quiet, haven't they? After a weekend when you see Hamas starting to still kill people, hey, they're not killing Israelis, so all of a sudden Free Palestine, shh, don't say anything, right? Maybe you should come up with a plan on that instead of relying on No Kings rallies. 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. So I'd love to hear from both sides. Let's kick this off this way. 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. And you tell me, I put up a simple question earlier today when I got up this morning, knowing that we'd be talking about this on the program. Will this past Saturday's No Kings protest have any lasting effect on the political landscape in Connecticut or in the rest of the U.S.? Or a week from now, was all this going to be forgotten and we're back to the shouting and screaming as normal? And coming up later on, we'll talk about a sign that a sitting member of the Connecticut General Assembly was holding with a person at one of these records gatherings that seemed to allude to the death of President Trump, and asked about it today. He's brushing it off. He's laughing at us. Oh, what's the big deal? Man, oh, man, what the other side, as many batting practice fastballs straight down the middle as the Trump White House gives Democrats, they just continue to be a cluster. But you tell me, is anything going to change after these No Kings rallies, which I apparently work, because at last time, Chris, I don't see anything in there. I still don't see, no, not over there. I don't see any kings. All right, a lot of the No Kings rallies all over the U.S. and all over the state of Connecticut on the weekend. If you went out to one, I hope you had a good time using your constitutionally protected rights of free speech. As we're 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. So my question to you folks is now, what's next? You tell me, what's next? And there's nothing wrong with a pep rally. There's nothing wrong with hiking up that school spirit, which is what this was. And I know people said, well, 7 or 8 million people around the country were out over the weekend. Well, that's good. I'm sure most of them were from the Kamala Harris side of things, and that's good. Good for you. Now, what are you going to do to increase your viability? Big word there, I know. A lot of syllables for me. What are you going to do to increase your viability in this whole thing over the next year or so? Do any of these Trump rallies, anti-Trump rallies, No Kings rallies over the weekend, are they connected in any way with or how to the way that you will manage or market your philosophy on immigration or on crime or on the economy? And look, you may think you have all the answers. Well, right now, as we sit here coming off some major surveys over the past week, couple of weeks, the side that went out for all the Trump rallies this weekend, you're losing. And rallies are not going to make the difference. You've got to change your tactics. It's great you got out there. I have nothing against that. Good for you. But how are you going to make a difference? The Republicans right now are plus 20 in a nationwide survey on immigration. The Republicans are plus 18 on crime. In a survey last week by a Democratic pollster, the Republicans are plus 4 or 5 on the economy. So did anything that you did or didn't do this past weekend, is that going to make a difference? Pep rallies don't win the big game on Saturday or Sunday. The team does. The plays do. The offensive coordinator does. The defensive coordinator does. Special teams do. Offense, defense, special teams. Are any of those going to be helped next year by what happened this past weekend? That's it. I'm just asking a simple question. I don't know what the answer is. They just pay me to get the conversation going here and toss out some questions. You tell me. If you went out to one of the rallies, I hope you had a wonderful time. I really do. I really do. I had a nice weekend out there. I'm sure there were a lot of vendors out there, a lot of cops making overtime, which is good. Fire people, first responders, amen to all that. Henry starts us off today on a Monday. Henry, how are you, sir?
Good. How you doing, buddy?
I'm all right. What can I tell you?
I didn't call to argue, but you asked.
Yeah. What's the difference?
What I've been saying all along, you're 100. I say 110%.
There's no such thing as 100%.
No, there isn't. You know, people say 1,000%.
1,000%. Come on.
You know, go back to third grade arithmetic.
Go back to third grade.
You're 100%. Well, 100%. You're 100% accurate.
That's right.
That it's going to do nothing. But it's what I've been saying, and I didn't call to argue. There's 75 million, 80 million that back him. There's nothing that anybody can do or say, or there's nothing that he could do or say to change it. Nothing. And that's from his own mouth. See, that's from his own mouth.
Mm.
You've got 75 million people that back him up no matter what he does. And he said the reason why he's a Republican is because they're the stupidest people on the planet.
No, Henry, he did not say that, Henry. That has been disproven. It's been disproven because they thought James Carville said the same thing about Democrats. So please don't refer. And Henry, thank you for the call. I don't know how many times I have to tell people. Are you all you people stunned? He never said that. And and what Henry referred to there was, oh, I ran as a Republican because they're the dumbest people. No, he never said that. And some people tried to affix that same quote to James Carville for Democrats. Why I work for Democrats. He never said that either. That has been disproven. People magazine said, no, nobody ever said that on our pages. Oofa. Hey, is it Friday yet? Jesus. All right, the estimates coming from the White House a couple of weeks back. Connecticut could lose at least 500 federal jobs, maybe permanently, if we don't get some resolution to this government shutdown. Joining us right now to let us know if anything has changed today on a new week, CBS News congressional correspondent Nicole Killian is with us. Nicole, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. Is there any light at the tunnel, Nicole, on this or not?
Well, there's always a light at the end of the tunnel. I'm just not sure when it's coming. So, you know, look.
And how far away it is, right?
Exactly. But, you know, look, there is bipartisan agreement that this shutdown has to end, but there is still very strong disagreement over how to do that. And as we've been reporting for some time now, both Republicans and Democrats are still largely dug in on their positions here. You know, Republican leaders continue to argue that the government has to reopen first before they enter into any type of negotiations with Democrats. Democrats, of course, say Republicans need to come to the negotiating table first to deal with this issue of rising health care costs before they vote to support any type of funding package to reopen the government. So we just heard from both Senate leaders on the Senate floor a short time ago reiterating those positions. Nonetheless, they will take another vote on government funding at some point today, although the outcome is likely to be what we have seen for 10 times now, which is a failed vote.
Finally, Nicole, is there unanimity on both sides here, especially on the Democratic side? Do all the Democrats, and sometimes you get these little things that leak out, are all of them unanimous in holding firm on these tax subsidies for Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act? Or is there a sense, maybe off the record, that some of them would rather get the government open again and, as the Republicans say, treat that as a separate issue? Or do they see this as a moment where they can strike and get some political points?
Well, I think it's important to remember that neither party is a monolith. And as of now, yes, both parties are, as I mentioned, standing firm and sticking to their positions. But at the same time, you know, when you look at these government funding votes, we continue to see a small group of Democrats that have been supporting reopening the government and funding this temporary extension. However, you still have a strong contingent of Democrats who, again, feel that it's important to address this health care issue first. So those are the ones who are standing firm along with leadership. You know, you asked about a light at the end of the tunnel. One possible light is that you have leader John Thune, who's going to be putting up a bill later this week to at least try to pay some of these federal workers who are still being required to work without pay during the shutdown. So we will see how that vote goes, but it is an attempt on the part of lawmakers to at least try to honor the paychecks of some of these federal workers during this shutdown.
CBS News congressional correspondent Nicole Killian from D.C. Nicole, thank you. We appreciate the time. Take care.
You bet.
Appreciate it. Nicole Killian, CBS News congressional correspondent. You hear her on the news here on WICC. You also see her sometimes on TV, too, on the CBS Evening News.